Thank the Lord this morning for everyone that has made it out. Appreciate it. Appreciate the Lord being so good to us all this week. Everybody had so many experiences, and the Lord was just good to us this week. Appreciate that. We want to talk this morning about abiding in the Lord. There are many definitions to abide, and it's used in different ways at different times in the Word. But abide means to live in, obey, follow, conform to, adhere to, uphold, consent to, endurance, continuance, and respect. As the Lord was dealing with me last night with the message, and as I was looking into the Word, and I was reading one of my devotional books, and this scripture, or there was a scripture in there, and this word jumped out at me. And the Lord began to deal with me about it, and He brought to my mind the song number 342. And I'd like for the congregation to sing this song. I want you to listen to what it's talking about. It's talking about how abiding God is when He abides with us. It's talking about Him abiding in us. It's all about Him. This song is about Him. So if you would sing that song.
Thank you.
this song talks about, I hope you listened to the words, I hope you took in the words as you sang, because this song speaks about God's steadfast care of us, the help of the helpless, one who changes not. Our God doesn't change. We can change, we can have emotions up and down, but our God never changes. He's present with us. He sends his grace against the enemy. It says he's our guide and our stay. He takes away our fears. Helps through trials and tests. And takes away death's sting. This is God abiding with us. That's him taking care of us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In Psalms 15, there are only five verses in this Psalms. Psalms 15 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to abide in your house? Who's going to abide in your church? Who's going to abide in your kingdom? Who's going to live there? Who will dwell? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, yes, and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Oh, dear ones, there are so many, many, many people that want the Lord's help. And they call upon the Lord and they pray to the Lord and they look to the Lord and all. But they don't want to walk uprightly. Yes. They don't want to be righteous. They say they can't be righteous. And so many of them, they know things that they should do and they don't do them. They don't have truth in their heart. But we have to have those things. Yes. We have to have righteousness and holiness. We have to speak the truth in our heart. We have to, when the Lord begins to deal with us about something, we have to say in our heart, you're right, Lord. Yes. You're right. That's just what I have. That's just who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard to recognize who we are. It's very hard to recognize our personalities. We see ourselves a certain way. But do you know that we've been educated to see ourselves that way? We've heard other people talk. We've heard the enemy talk in our head. We've heard our own flesh glory in things about us that it likes. We've heard a lot of things and learned a lot of things about who we are. But we don't always know the truth. And we have to let the Lord come in and teach us what the truth is in our heart. What's really there. And the one that abides in the tabernacle, the one that's in the holy hill, he's going to let the Lord do that. They're going to speak truth in their heart. He's going to be able to say, you're right, Lord. I see it, Lord. I won't do it again, Lord. Forgive me for it, Lord. We're going to be honest with God. It also says that he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In other words, how we treat others. See how we treat others. All the people around us, whether it's our families or our neighbors or our work associates, whoever it is, it's how we treat them. The Lord says, if you're going to abide in my tabernacle, in my holy hill, then you're going to have to treat people right. No matter if they treat you wrong, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, about how that you can have people out in traffic that treat you pretty wrong and you don't even know for sure what you did. You don't know anything that happened, but you have to treat them right anyway. You have to do the right thing. You can't retaliate. You can't do the same things they do. That's what the world does. They do the same things that the people do to them. They get back. They get even. They take revenge. But we're not going to be in God's holy hill. There is a change in our lives that takes place. And we have to be willing for the Lord to show us ourselves and for us to hear and understand how we're supposed to treat others. People have a hard time treating others right when they're wrong, when they're doing things wrong, when they're doing things against you and they're persecuting you. But we have to do right. And it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, a vile, in our eyes, in other words, we have to view vile people, vile sins, horrible things. We have to view them a certain way. We can't give place to them. We can't pet them or pamper them. Or because it's in our family, we can't just put up with those kind of things. It says that we are to have a disdain for the things of the enemy. Not the person themselves, but the evil that they do. We're to have something that rises up against that evil. Not the person, but the evil that they're perpetrating. We have to have that. If we don't have that, we see what happens. What's happening in the world today? Things that used to be vile and evil are becoming commonplace because people didn't contemn in their heart. They didn't disdain the things that were evil. And to honor them that fear the Lord. Oh, sometimes we can get in our heart and we can look around and we can look at other people and we can say, you know, well, I believe they're saved, but they're doing this and they're doing that and all these. We can't let that be our business. Do you understand? We can't let that be our business. What we do is we pray for them. If we see things that are wrong in their lives, that are giving them problems, we pray about it. We take it to the Lord. And we say, Lord, do something about this. They don't even understand that this is wrong. They don't even understand that this is one of the biggest things that is causing them so much problems. They don't even understand. Lord, open up their understanding. Help them. And he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. That means that even when it's to my advantage, I'm still going to tell. When it's not to my advantage, I'm still going to tell the truth. You aren't going to get me to say something different for a little bit of money. You're not going to get me to pick up money on the ground. And I'm not talking, don't get me wrong here. There are times we pick up money on the ground and there's no place, nobody around, nobody anywhere. And so we might pick it up. But I'll tell you what, if you pick it up, you're going to have to do something with it. You got to do something with it. You know, sometimes the Lord has put money in people's hands that were doing the work of the Lord and they didn't have a bus ticket or a train ticket or whatever, and the Lord put money on the ground for them to have. And I have nothing against that. But I remember one day I was getting into my car in the parking lot at a grocery store and there was a $20 on the ground. And I thought, oh, did that fall out of my purse? And I thought, I don't know. Did it? Didn't it? I couldn't figure. I didn't know for sure. I had some money in my purse, but I didn't know exactly how much I had. And I had some $20 bills in there, but I didn't know really how much. I didn't know for sure. And you know what? I sat there for a few minutes and I thought, no, I'm not taking this. I'm just not taking this. And so I went back into the store and I told them, somebody lost this in the parking lot. And I gave it to them. Because you know what? I didn't want to be responsible for it. You know, it might not be mine. And then I would be taking it. You know, sometimes it's just the way it is. We have to be honest in our heart. When people say, well, you know, just don't say anything and we'll let it go. And there's sometimes you just can't not say anything. Sometimes you have to say something, even if it comes against you. You have to make it right. You have to take the blame. You have to your own hurt, be honest. Be honest to your own hurt. Be honest to the place that, well, I don't even know if this is considered on my income tax, if this is considered income or not income or whatever, but I'm not going to do anything wrong on here. You know what? It came to me. It's income. I'm putting it down here. I'm not going to have a problem with the Lord and I over a $20 bill. You know what I'm saying? We just need to be, we're honest to our own hurt. We would rather suffer wrong than possibly do something that is dishonest. That's who's going to abide in his tabernacle and in his holy hill. It isn't going to be the one that skips along through life and fudges a little there and cheats a little there and everything. And it's not really hurting anybody, they say. But you know, it does hurt something. It says, "He that putteth not out his money to usury or taketh reward against the innocent." In other words, take advantage of people. Taking advantage of people. Oh, you know, it's so easy. So many times, I live in that senior citizens park, and so many times they have been cheated trying to get people to do work and things for them. And they're cheated all the time because they're older. And the people say, "We're going to do this for this price." And, you know, and one of them said, "I knew better than to pay him the whole thing at front. But older people want to trust. They want to trust in people. And the people talk so nice to them and everything. And they older people say, "Oh, they were so nice." You know, but they took the money and only did half the job and never came back and they couldn't get a hold of him. That kind of thing. Lord, there are so many people out there taking advantage, you know, robbery and stealing and breaking in and all these things, taking advantage of other people, taking advantage of those that are weaker or not able to protect all their property. And it doesn't matter how much protection you have, that doesn't mean somebody still can't steal from you. Because now you can have all kinds of things to where they can't get in your house. But we have computer hackers that can get into your bank account. You know, they can do something. They can get something from somewhere. Lord, help us. Those aren't going to be the ones that abide. It's those that will not take a reward against the innocent. It's those that, even though somebody wants to pay you something, you know, you just feel like you just want to do it. You just want to do it for them. You just want to give it to them. Because why? Because we live for a great God that takes care of all of our needs. And maybe they don't have somebody that takes care of all of theirs. And we just want to help them. We want to do something for them. God looks down on that. He wants to abide in us. So we want to turn to John, the 15th chapter. We're going to talk about the vine. The word abide is used many, many times in these scriptures. John 15, 1 through 10. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Jesus is speaking. I'm the true vine. I'm the vine. My Father is the one that looks over this vine and does what he has to do to keep the vine healthy, to keep the vine and all the branches healthy. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So here we are, branches in this vine. And it says that if the branch doesn't bear fruit, God takes it away. Yep. Listen, there are so many people that claim salvation and claim to be saved. But you know, God, the Father, expects fruit. Amen. He expects fruit. And if the fruit doesn't come, the scripture says here that He takes it away. He does that. He's the husbandman. He takes it away. He purges it. He prunes it off. Not part of the vine anymore. Do you know that there are many people walking around that don't know they've been cut off of the vine? They still think they're serving the Lord. It's a sad situation. But you know something? There have been times in all of our lives where we thought we were doing really good until the Lord showed us something. And then we found out being attached to our attachment to this vine was not too good. It wasn't too good. And then he says, and the branch that bears fruit, in other words, they're bearing fruit. They're going forward. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're bearing fruit. But he says he purges it, that it can bring more fruit. Now, this is a reference to sanctification and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But it also in our daily lives, our daily lives. He's going to purge us. We're bearing fruit, but he wants more. The only way to get more fruit is to purge it, to prune it, to take care of it, to cut out that is not good, to do all those things. It's so important that we allow the Lord to have his free reign to do these things for us. Because do you know the branch doesn't know how to prune itself? You know the branch doesn't know how to bear fruit from itself? The only reason it's bearing fruit is because it's connected to the vine. Jesus Christ. That's how come we're bearing fruit. It's not because we're so good or that we've learned so much. It's because we're really connected to the vine. All that is in Jesus is flowing up through us. That's abiding. That's abiding in the vine. It says, Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. To abide in the vine, to obey and follow and conform, adhere to, in other words, stick to, uphold, consent, endure, be constant. All those things. It says, abide in me. Do that with me. I have all these things to offer you. I have all this fruit that is for you to have. I have all the everything you need to keep going forward in life. You need to abide in me. To actually live in me. Let me live in you and you live in me. And let the two of us be one. He prayed that we would all be one with the Father. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. If we go through the orchards and you cut off the branches and they're laying on the ground, they're green for a little while. But soon they dry up and wither away. And you know that branch is not there. We have out in the country where I was, they had harvesters that harvested some of the grapes. And they would go through and they would cut the branches that had the fruit on it so the fruit would dry up on the vine. But at first you couldn't tell because it all just still looks green. But the next day you come and you start to see a little brown mixed in, you know, and then pretty soon you come and there's a lot of brown mixed in. And pretty soon the whole center of the grapevine is all brown, and there's just a few green ones going out to the side here and there because they're still attached to the vine, but the others have been cut off. And you don't know it for a while. Do you know that we can get a little scar on a branch, and it could begin to get real sickly looking? And then there's things that you can do to mend a branch and help it and tape it up and put some stuff on it that'll help it all grow back together and everything. And pretty soon that branch is doing good again. And any of us that have done gardening, we know these kinds of things. And there's some things we know that if it gets cut too far through that branch, it's going to die no matter how much you try to save it. It's going to die. Because there's just not enough of the life-giving, what they need, coming up from the roots and going out to that branch. Well, dear ones, that's what it is when we're not abiding in God. When we're not abiding in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus is obeying, following, conforming to. Dear Lord, help us. that everything we know is good to make sure we're putting it in our lives. And everything we know is bad, we should get rid of it. We should get rid of it. We shouldn't have it anymore. But do you know there are people that are living with things in their lives that they haven't found the grace, maybe. They haven't found the strength, the faith to be able to say, I'm taking that out of my life. I'm not having that in there anymore. They haven't found that yet. So they have a branch that has an injury. It's not getting all the life flow from the root that it needs. They're not getting everything they need from the Lord. Because they're partially separated. Because the things that you allow in your life affect your branch. It affects your fruit. It affects your branch and how it's connected to Jesus. He deals with us about things. How many here have, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many here have had times where the Lord was dealing with them with something for quite a while before they got to a place to where they said, Lord, you can have it. You can have it. There was that little bit of tug of war, that little bit of place where, but I like it and, you know, I'll just try to cut back. I'll just try to do it this way, or I'll just only allow it here, or I'll just only do that, or and we just keep allowing it and allowing it. And so the thing, that nutrition that's supposed to be coming to us as we're a branch, part of this vine, we're not receiving it. We're not receiving the full dose. So we're a little sickly. And when we're a little sickly, what happens? We can easily be further damaged. We can easily be killed. You know, a little wind or storm comes up with a branch that is partially severed and not doing too well in the branch, and the wind or the storm blows on it really hard and it just cracks it off the rest of the way. We've all seen this in nature. This is why Jesus is using this example, because he wants us to see by using nature what happens in the spiritual life. And he's talking about abiding, just living there, conforming, obeying, not standing up and say, I don't understand, I don't see, I don't. You know, a branch is not an eye. A branch is part of the vine, a part of the whole thing. You are not an individual in God's kingdom separate from every other piece. No, we're all connected to the same vine. But when we get damaged and we get cut off, do you know it affects the whole vine? Do you know that place where you cut off and you prune those branches or whatever? Do you know that it takes time for that little place to heal? And that while when it's first cut, there's a chance of disease entering in? Don't you know that that's sometimes what happens? There have been branches that the Lord has cut off. And he is saying, you are not living what you're saying you're living. They're just being maybe hypocriting or whatever. And he cuts them off. And they go off and they have all manner of things. They, you know, well, I don't understand. And God, you know, this or God that. Do you know it affects the whole vine? Yes, sir. It affects the vine. Yes. It's like a little disease entering in, circulating through the whole vine. And maybe some people say, oh, you know, I don't know. They should have maybe this or that. And then others say, well, if they'd have done this or if they'd handle it this way or that way. But you know what? Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that is the vine that we're connected to. And the Father is the husbandman. He is the one that says, you either abide in my Son and you do all that he says and you do all that he died for you to have. You take it all. You swallow it all. You eat the whole book, or you can't abide in my vine. You can't abide in my Son. He's the husbandman. It goes on, it says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. You abide in me, and I abide in you. In other words, I do everything you say. I do all that you want me to do. I'm quick to obey. I'm quick to hear your voice. I'm quick to measure up. I'm quick to see my wrongs. I'm easily entreated. I do all these things. I'm abiding. And he says that he abides in me and I in him. When I do all those things, don't you know the life force coming through Jesus Christ into our life, that he's abiding in us? He's causing us, helping us. That first song we sang, helping us to do all the things that is required of the vine. He's right there to help us. He does it all. We just simply have to say, yes, Lord. But we have to live there. We have to abide there. We can't just be there on Sundays. We can't just be there when the saints are around. And we can't just be there when everybody's looking. We have to be there all the time. We have to be there when nobody's looking, when we're not around the saints, when we're not in church. We have to always be there. We have to follow God's ways and the way he wants things done. We have to follow that all the time. We don't get to have times off. We don't get to have times where, well, it wouldn't really matter if I did this here, or it wouldn't really matter if I do that little thing there. There are so many people that I know of that have said, I don't think this little thing matters. But they're not in the vine today. So maybe it mattered. Maybe it mattered. Do you know the smallest things in the word matter? That there is nothing that is in the, I heard one minister say, there is nothing in the word that is filler. You know what I mean? You know how our conversation could go? Sometimes we run out of things to say and we start throwing out filler. You know, well, you know, the weather, or, you know, this or that, or what, you know, we start filling out because we don't have anything else to, we know to say. But the word of God isn't like that. It said every jot and tittle, not one thing would be moved. Every little word in there is important. There's no filler there. So when God deals with things and he's talking about these things, oh, some people, when he talks about being delivered from sin, you can take that all the way through the Bible, exactly how God said it, or you can take a few verses here and a few verses there and do with it whatever you want. You can do that. God doesn't make you abide in him. But you better abide in him. If you don't, the husbandman cuts you off. Jesus doesn't cut you off. The husbandman does. The Father does. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's interceding for us every day. He's the one that says, you know, let me dig around him a little longer, Lord. That's who Jesus is. But that's not who the Father is. The Father says, I have done all I can do for mankind. I have done all I can do for them. I have given them everything they need. They will believe my word and follow it, or they won't. But he doesn't let us abide in the vine if we're not bearing any fruit. He doesn't let us abide there. He cuts us off. And there are so many people that have been cut off and don't even know it, because they refuse to follow the instructions in the word. Many of them have been taught false doctrine. And I know God takes all of that into consideration. He knows the thoughts and the intents of their heart. People that are very, very honest can believe some very bad things for a long time before the Lord gets it to them, because they've been taught wrong. But there comes a day when the Lord says, I've sent my Holy Spirit. You've read the word. I pricked your heart when you were reading it. And where you're at, or where who you talk to, and they're saying, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to decide. See who you're going to believe. You're going to believe that still small voice in here. You're going to believe that prick in your heart. You're going to believe the thing that you read that you really don't want to do anyway. And so it's easy to just go ahead and believe what they're going to say to you. That's not abiding. Abiding is just living there. I just live in the Word. I live in the kingdom. I live there. I obey all the rules. I do all of those things. I do what God wants me to do, and I do it all the time. I just don't do it when it's convenient for me. I just don't do it when I'm feeling good. You know, I do it when I'm feeling bad. I do it when I'm in pain. I do it when I don't understand my circumstances. I still do it. I still abide in Him. I live there. The disciples said, he said to them, "Will you leave me too?" And they said, "Where would we go?" Do you ever feel like that sometimes? People are talking to you and they're saying, "Oh, you don't have to do that, and you don't have to do that, and I don't think that's what that means," and all these things. Sometimes in your heart you can just feel like, "Lord, where else would I go? This is what works. This is what gives me my peace. This is what gives me everything. Because I abide here. I live here. I'm connected to the vine. I don't have any scars that are sapping my strength. I'm not keeping any little things around. I'm not keeping any of those things that I know better. I'm not keeping those. Because they separate me from the vine. They make little nicks and cuts. And I'm not getting all the nourishment that I need. And so when the big test comes, I don't have what I need to go through it." Help us to abide in Him. It says, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Isn't that what we've learned? You tried to do some things on your own, didn't you? In the beginning you do, because you're so used to running your own life. You're just used to it. Well, you thought you were running your own life. The enemy was actually running it more than you were. But still, you were in agreement. But you thought you were running it. You thought you were doing a good job with it. And then the Lord got a hold of you. And now, it was hard in the beginning to turn over everything. Well, if I take my hands off, what about this or what about that? People are worried about, well, if I do that, they'll take advantage of me. If I'm the one that's nice, then they'll just walk over me. If I'm the one that's nice, they'll give me all the extra work because I won't complain. You see? Or if I'm the one that's nice, then they think that they can just go on talking to me like that. You see? Little nicks, little cuts in the vine. But you know what? When we learn those things, those all got healed up, and we have a pure flowing of all of the nutrients and everything that we need coming from Jesus, flowing straight into us. We have everything because I live there. I abide there. I don't take vacations. I'm telling you, I'm using that word because in my life and in my experience down through the years, I was a runner. In other words, when things got hard, I wanted a vacation. You know, I wanted to get away. I wanted some time alone. I wanted this. I wanted that. And I'm not talking about a real vacation, going to the beach or someplace and getting alone. I'm talking about I just wanted to get away from God. I just wanted to have a, I just didn't want to think about it anymore. I was fighting and striving. And the reason why is because I was striving against the things God was trying to help me to get a hold of. And I was striving against them. And I just felt like, oh, I just need to get away for a while. You know, so you don't read, you don't pray, and it gets kind of quiet. Why does it get quiet when you do that? Sometimes it gets quiet because the devil's happy. Why is he going to bother you? Why bother you here? You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, so why bother you here? I'll just let you be alone. I'll just let you be all alone. I'll still be there in your head, but you won't know it's me. But the Lord won't be there in your head because you're taking a vacation from Him. And all the time, little nicks and cuts are happening in the bark on your branch. And you're getting separated more and more from the life-giving flow that flows from Jesus into our hearts. He can't abide in us. He can't give us everything we need because we're allowing these things. And we're not abiding in Him. Because we're just taking a little vacation away from it, away from it all. And sometimes things will be happening in our lives and we'll say, oh, this is so hard, you know, and you just feel like, I can't even pray. I can't even pray. And people will say, well, you need to pray and you need to do this. Oh, I can't. You don't want to. Because all of us have a little inkling in our hearts and in our souls. We all have that little voice, that little conscience, that little bit of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. All of that, because we're attached to the vine and there's a little bit of life-giving force still going through, and all of us kind of know that it's me, Lord. It's me. It's just me. Why? Because this first song that we sang is all about, we say to the Lord, abide with me. Oh, I want all your good stuff. I want all your good stuff. I want you to help me through my trials and my tests. And I want you to bless me. And I want you to give me good things. And I want you to, oh, help me not to have bad thoughts and all these things. But what? You want me to quit what? You want me to give up what? But I still want all the good things, Lord. I still want you to abide in me. But do his words abide in you? If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, in other words, if you live for me, if you live in me, obey me, follow me, conform, adhere, uphold, consent, endure, continue. And my words abide in you, all the word of God. Everything you understand and know about in the Word of God. And not only that, but I have an open heart that if I discover something tomorrow, I'll be with that one too. I'll do that one too, Lord. You show me and I'll do it. Even if it's something special. You know, sometimes we can have things, there's nothing wrong with it, but it can be so special in our lives that we will give up our time with the Lord in order to do it. That's not a good place. I will give you good advice today. If there is something that is not sin that you love to do, be very, very careful with it. Because you don't want the Lord to say, nope, you can't have that anymore. You don't want that. You don't want that. So control it. Let the Lord, hear the Lord when he says, you're spending too much time. It's time to move. Hear the Lord when he says, come away to pray. Hear the Lord when he says, come read with me. Come reason with me and let's have a talk. Pay attention, dear ones. Because there have been people that have had to give up good things, wholesome things. Anything wrong with them. But they could not control them. Their love for them was so great. It was greater than God. It was greater than him. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now we know that doesn't mean I want $1 million and he's going to give it to us. No. You know what it's about? It's about when we run up against something and we say, Lord, I don't have the power for this. Lord, I don't have the want to for this. Lord, I don't have the grace for this. I don't have what I need. I know there needs to be a change here, but I don't have what it takes to get there. Will you help me? He said, if my words abide in you, if you're living up to date, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and shall be done. Oh, God is a prayer answering God about things like that. Oh, you want to gain ground? Oh, God is a prayer answering God. Why do we think that he can't answer those kind of things? Why do we think that our love for something or whatever is going to be greater? It's going to be greater and we're not going to be able to do it. That isn't what we need. The Lord needs for us to be willing to give up things. I can remember there were some things that I had to give up in my experience. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do with all this time? You know what I'm saying? What am I going to do with this time? Well, you find out when you don't fill it up with that particular thing, you find out there's all kinds of other things that there is to do. Yes. You just don't know about them because you've just been concentrating on that and just letting yourself all be in that and your flesh all be wrapped up in that. So you weren't aware of other things that you could do or other things that would take its place. You didn't know. You didn't know what else was out there. Isn't that what we tell people out in sin? Oh, you just don't know the joy and this and that and everything that's here. Well, we need to practice that. There's something we may have to give up, and we just need to say, Lord, I don't know the joy and everything that's going to come when I give this up, but I have to give it up. I can't preach to others and say, oh, come on in, give up all the world. And I'm not willing to give up this little thing right here, staring me in the face, causing me to be cut off from the vine, causing me to be weak, not as spiritual as I need to be, get weaker and weaker. So when the storm comes, the devil wants to break me completely off. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus never did anything on his own here. He was always referring back to the Father. When people would praise him or say things against him, he said, it's not me. It's not me. I didn't get this on my own. This all came from the Father. Whether it was praise or whether it was criticism, he let them know, this all came from the Father. These are not my words. This all comes from him. That's what we do. It says, if we keep his commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Ye shall live there in my love. Jesus says that when you obey me, you're a dear child. That's what this is saying. You're a dear child. You know how you can have children and there's one that maybe is a little more obedient than some of the others, and they just are willing to help and they're willing to do this and everything. They're a dear child. Sometimes the other children feel like they're getting preferential treatment, but it's not so. It's just the fact that they're very dear because they don't go against the authority. They don't buck against the rules. They're a dear child. Jesus is saying, if you keep my commandments, you're a dear child. I'll do whatever you need because you're a dear child. You keep my commandments. You don't leave one undone. You don't pet and pamper yourself and you don't say, I just don't have the strength today. No, you take responsibility and you do it the right way, whether you feel like it or not. That's a dear child. That's a dear child. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Father loved Jesus. Why? Because he never had a problem with him. He never had a problem with him. He didn't disobey him one time. When he was in trouble, he went to him right away. First thing, that's what he did. He prayed all night many, many times. We don't know what all the struggles were that he prayed about. We don't know everything. We only know the final struggle in the garden that the Lord gives us a insight into. But listen, there were lots of things happening around Jesus all the time. We have a short sketch of what happened. But there was 3 years of all manner of things coming against him. And he went off to pray alone. Is it because he didn't understand what God wanted? Is it because he didn't know the next step? Oh Lord, you know, oh Father. No, it was because things were hard. He had flesh and bones. He had flesh. He had to fight against that flesh. The whole idea of having a perfect sacrifice was one that conquered the flesh. Conquered sin and the flesh. And that's what he did. In 1 John 2:6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. In other words, if you say you're abiding in him, then you need to look like Jesus. You need to look like Jesus. You need to act like Jesus. You need to have the same opinions as Jesus. You need to be able to say the same kind of words as Jesus. You need to fight away the devil like Jesus. See, if you're going to say I'm abiding in the vine, I'm hooked to the vine, I'm hooked to Jesus, then you have to prove it. The fruit has to be there. And it can't be scrawny fruit. There are a lot of people walking around with scrawny fruit. No, it's supposed to be big and luscious. It's supposed to look so good that somebody else wants to pick it. Somebody else wants to come in and have what you have because it looks so luscious, so sweet. You know, there are people that go around serving the Lord that everything is woe is me and fighting the devil and this and that, and they always have a complaint and this and sickness and this and that. And then there's others that go around rejoicing and all, you know, kind of the difference between scrawny fruit and luscious fruit. Nobody wants that complaining, all trials, all tests, all things bad happening all the time. Who wants that? But that sweet life, that luscious life, where no matter what's happening, I'm happy, I'm contented, I'm free, I'm full of energy, I'm full of everything that God blesses me with. And even when I'm going through hard things, most people won't know. Can we do that? I'm going through something hard. Most people won't know. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that what Jesus did? You don't see the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, "What's wrong, Master? Was it hard for you yesterday? You look so sad today. Are you having problems?" Is that what the disciples said to Jesus? No. He didn't live there. That doesn't mean he didn't feel some things that could cause you to live there. But he fought his flesh and he stuck them aside and he put them to the side. And he said, like Sister Foster always said, "I'm blessed." You couldn't get her hardly to say nothing else. You would want to, I would try to get her alone and say, "Now, Sister Foster, I just want to know how to pray for you. You know, just, you know, any, oh, I'm blessed." She would not tell me. You know, that's abiding in the vine. You know why? I'm receiving all this food. I'm receiving all that God has for me. I don't need anything, really. But she was being nice because she could have said, "Sister Rich, I don't need that. The Lord is supplying this and this." I mean, she could have, and she could have even reprimanded me and said, "Sister Rich, pray to the Lord and find out what to pray for." All right, you see? She didn't do any of that. She just said, "I'm blessed." She probably went home and prayed for me. Poor Sister Rich doesn't know how to get a hold of the Lord to know what to pray for. See, she abided in the vine. In the vine. She didn't have needs. And yet she had so many. She had so many, but she didn't have them. She didn't live in them. She didn't live in the needs. She lived in the Lord. She lived in the vine. She lived in the vine. And all the outward things that the vine is exposed to, they didn't affect the vine. You know why? Because the vine gets its nourishment from the roots. It doesn't get its nourishment from what's around it. It comes up from the roots. Aren't you glad? All right. We have two other songs. I'd like them to be sung. We have Abiding and Confiding, 202. And we have Abiding in Jesus, 118. And when we sing these, let's sing them with like we mean them. Let's sing them like we really know what this is. Let's sing them like, if I'm not there, I'm going to get there. Let's pay attention to the words and not let our mind wander and can't figure out, get all through with singing and don't even know what I've sung. Let's really, these songs were inspired by the word about abiding in the vine. These songs were inspired by the Holy Ghost to tell us a little more, to make it a little plainer. That's what these songs are all about that we sing. But we have a tendency to just go through them and not pay much attention, so we don't really get the deep lesson. Amen.